Hello, this is Mark, your local truth seeker and troublemaker. Today, let's talk about bank fraud. This subject really gets me riled up. If I seem to get into a little bit of a frenzy later on, I tend to act a little bit like a shark in the water, and I smell blood, start to get into a little bit of a frenzy. It's a fascinating subject. It's angering, and it's also very liberating once you understand what you can do about it. Bank fraud is everywhere. Just about every, not just about, every bank loan, credit card debt, student loan, any type of loan or credit is fraud. And I'm going to explain to you why. And it's real simple. We don't need to get into detailed legal analysis or complex accounting procedures. It's real simple. So let's get into it right away. First of all, to understand the fraud that the banks pull on us, we have to understand what is money. That's the first thing you do in any situation trying to evaluate, you know, the legal posture. Is start looking at the definitions. Look at keywords that you'll find in Black's Law Dictionary that will always appear in the front pages of the body of law. For example, if you're looking at motor vehicle code in Colorado, that's Title 42. And so you'll just go to Section 1 and start looking at the definitions. And you'll be kind of interesting what you find. So what is money? If you haven't studied this is really a fascinating subject. We can look up terms like legal tender, currency, money of account, credit, negotiable instruments. These are all basically different terms for the same thing. The currency. Think of electricity. The currency that we have in the economy is what circulates. It's what gives energy to the entire system. Okay? Currency is the legal tender that's circulated for the what we call very loosely payment of debts, which legally is not payment of debt, but it's a discharge of liability. So that circulates. What is accepted as legal tender typically will be defined as money account, money of account. The money of account of USA has never been defined. So they keep this obviously open-ended, so that can include all kinds of things at just about any given time. However, when you boil it all down, the money of account of the United States is essentially credit. So what is credit? Okay, I'm playing in your casino, and I run out of money. And I say, hey, give me credit, $50, so I can go play $50 over at the blackjack table. And you say, okay, go ahead. I'll put it on your account. All right? So I promise to pay. I promise to pay that $50 back, win or lose, at some point in time. And you've allowed me to conduct my business, all right? That's credit. Credit really boils down to nothing more than promises to pay. So in our system that deals in money of account of the United States, the currency and or legal tender are basically negotiable instruments. Negotiable instruments are commercial paper. And our whole system is based on debt. What do you have in your pocket right now? What's in your wallet? You've got Federal Reserve notes. What's a note? A note is promise to pay. So the question is, all right, it's a promise to pay. When do I get paid? I'm carrying around these credit notes, promises to pay. When do I get paid? They're not redeemable, we know that. And so what we do in our economy is we simply swap negotiable instruments the currency of the day is credit. Nobody ever gets paid. We simply exchange credit with the benefit of the discharge of liability. At law, we don't pay debts at all. We simply have the privilege or the franchise of limited liability and the discharge of liability through the use of credit. Okay? So, now that I've thoroughly confused you, the key point is that we're playing with funny money, all right? We're dealing in credit. Promises to pay, which never get paid. It's very simple, all right? So, as a negotiable instrument can take many different forms. Drafts, checks, money orders. There are several different forms of negotiable instruments, all right? So, it's important to understand this as a premise to dealing with the banks, understanding bank fraud, and understanding exactly how you get defrauded when you apply and receive a loan, all right? Now, what do the banks do for their loan business, all right? They put out nice ads, Community State Bank, come here, we'll give you a home loan at low interest rates and low closing costs, all right? So what are they doing? They're advertising that they have money to lend you. You go there to borrow their money. And that's the con, all right? We've got money to lend you. Come here, we'll get it to you at low cost. Here's what really happens, and here's where the fraud is. I'll get right to it, right up front. Back to credit and negotiable instruments. When you sign the promissory note to pay the loan, that's the first thing that happens in the loan transaction. They don't give you a check and have you sign later. No, the first thing that happens after you are so-called approved, you sign the promissory note. You've just created a negotiable instrument, which is commercial paper, which gives credit and will circulate as money of account or legal tender. So what did I just say in simple terms? You just created the money that you're going to borrow. When you sign that promissory note, you created the money. Now, what happens next is where the fraud occurs, all right? We have to understand just a little bit about double entry bookkeeping. And it's real simple, nothing complicated here. Double entry bookkeeping that is used today basically requires that for every debit on the books, there has to be an equal credit. The books have to balance. All right, so when you buy stock in a company as a corporate stockholder, you will give the company, let's say, $5,000 to buy stock. That $5,000 goes on the corporate books as an asset. The double entry bookkeeping also shows the $5,000 as a liability to stockholders. Okay? Same thing with the bank. You go to the bank, you make a deposit of $1,000. The bank shows that on the books as a $1,000 asset. So that's part of the asset base of the bank. Yet at the same time, it has to balance so that $1,000 also shows as a debit or a liability to you, the depositor. Okay? So $1,000 goes in as a deposit as an asset. It also shows $1,000 as a liability. That's the double entry bookkeeping. Things have to balance. All right. So if in fact you are creating the money through your promissory note, you give it to the bank who's promised you to loan you their money, what happens is they deposit that promissory note, your money, and instead of showing it on the books as a liability, they show it as a credit. Okay, so they take, let me do this again. They take your deposit of money, they deposit your promissory note, they convert it to what's known as a DDA account, a demand deposit account, which is checkbook money. So they convert their liability to you, they convert it to an asset illegally, and that's the fraud right there. They treat it as an asset and write you a check from an account that was just funded with your promissory note. You follow me here? Okay. Now this has been discovered by very high level CPAs. I personally know one of them, the one who's discovered this, and we'll talk about him a little bit. Spent a fair amount of time with him personally and on my radio show in the past, exposing this to the public and trying to educate people about what's going on here. And it's just fascinating. So the bank now has converted your asset into a liability for you. You basically funded your own loan by creating the promissory note. The bank now charges you fees, all kinds of charges, closing points, will give you back a net amount after deducting those fees in a check for your loan. But before they do that, they want you to give them collateral to secure the loan, which they never had any risk in to begin with. They're loaning you your own money. They have no risk. So now they take your collateral on top of it. And here's the catch. All the money that's in circulation is based on the face value of the obligations. Okay, so when credit is created, the only money that's ever created is that face value. When the contracts incur interest charges, as they all do, and if you start thinking about what you pay on a 30-year mortgage, you pay three times the amount you borrowed. When you start thinking about what you pay on your credit card, I have an American Express charges 40% a year, and that's interest upon interest, and so it's just absolutely obscene. When you start thinking that, taking a look at the interest that the bankers are making, two, three, four, five times the amount that they loan, tongue in cheek. My point is that the money for the interest is never created. So if everything were just to stop today, there's not enough money in circulation to pay off all the loans. The interest is never created, only the face value of the credit. So what does that mean? That means that it's a mathematical certainty that a certain amount of foreclosure has to go on. A certain amount of that collateral that's been put up has to be foreclosed on. So that's just free money for the bankers. Free money. Because they never had anything at risk to begin with. They loaned you your own money. And they know that unless you are one of the fortunate few, they're also going to get your house after you've paid two times what you borrowed on it. Okay? Now, if something doesn't start to smell really stinky at this point, you need to stop this audio and go back and start over. But I know you're with me. So that's where the fraud happens. It's right up front. So let's take a look at the big picture. Let's look at the world system, things that are going on right now with this entire bank fraud scenario. Okay? You know what's going on with Greece. All right? Greece is under the thumb. The European Parliament wants to impose all kinds of draconian austerity measures so that the bankers get paid their money. Now, what are they talking about with austerity measures? That means they have to impose new taxes on the people. just like in Cyprus. In Cyprus a couple years ago, they just went in and took, I forget the figure, 10-15% of everybody's bank accounts. They just took it. If you had $100,000 in your account, you had $85,000 the next day after they got their hands on it. Nice, huh? Austerity measures mean that the people are going to pay. The people are going to pay one way or the other. Reduced benefits from government, they're going to steal the pension money, higher taxes, which means less income for the people, more restrictions, bank restrictions, transaction, commercial restrictions. The people pay, and the bankers win. Venezuela. The bonds, the bankers that have loaned money to Venezuela are making 800% profit on their investment in the bonds they've bought from Venezuela. What's Venezuela doing to pay that kind of interest to the bankers? I just saw today where Venezuela sold off the drinking water supplies for the people in order to basically steal the money necessary to pay the bankers. So the people don't have drinking water in Venezuela. The government has virtually robbed, if not outright destroyed, huge sectors of the economy so that things as basic as toilet paper and basic foodstuffs are simply not available. They're rationing. You've got stores that have fingerprint machines that will take your fingerprint to make sure that you have not come into the store more than once per month or whatever the allotted times are, so that you're not hoarding. You can only go so often and you can only spend so much, and after that you can't go back until your turn comes up again. Okay? People lose, bankers win. The 2008 financial crisis, you remember that? Well, we're on the precipice of disaster. Everything's going to collapse. Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers went out of business. All this huge catastrophe. Well, taxpayers came along, and I forget what the final figures were, but you know, it was billions and billions and billions. Who got bailed out? How did they avert the financial crisis? They bailed out the bankers, who were the same ones who put us in the crisis the first place. And the bankers end up with just billions of dollars. They take no risk, or whatever risks they have, the government is in bed with them, and they've got no risk. So they can take the highest risk in the world with these derivatives, stupid investments, ridiculous speculating, and if it doesn't work out, they get bailed out. Okay, so this is the world system that we live in the banking. All right, with that, I want to read you something. And I find it fascinating because this was written thousands of years ago. All right, and I'll tell you where to find this. You can read it yourself after I get through, but listen carefully. Then he answered me and said, "Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For it is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold the proud one. His soul is not right within him. Will not all of these take up a taunt, song against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, 'Woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans?' Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations. All the remainder, the remnant of the peoples, will loot you, because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. And I'll continue. Hear now what the Lord is saying. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, because the Lord has a case against his people. Is there yet a man in the wicked house, along with treasures of wickedness and a short measure that is cursed, abominable? Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights? For the rich men of the city are full of violence or unrighteous gain. Strong's 2555. Her residents speak lies, breach of contract, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. So also I will make you sick, striking you down, desolating you because of your sins. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. You will sow, but you will not reap. Therefore, I will give you up for destruction. That's right out of the Bible in Habakkuk chapter 2, talking about the evil of the false weights and measures, those who manipulate the finances. This basically declares a vision of a spiritual remnant of God's people in all nations rising up suddenly as creditors to collect what was stolen from them by the deceitful international money masters of this end time generation. And so this really is a vision for an appointed time. That appointed time seems very, very close, and it will certainly come. It will not delay, it says. It is prophesied to occur before the Creator returns to the earth, and those who read it should run, not procrastinate. So we believe that the appointed time is now, and that by you understanding these issues and learning these issues, you will have an opportunity to be part of that remnant who will stand up and give all the glory and credit for what's being accomplished to God our Creator, who is making all things possible and is uncovering these secrets for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Okay? So that gets pretty deep. And so this is more than just, a modern-day contemporary issue. This is a worldwide systemic issue whereby we are dealing with the principalities of darkness. And so understanding that, you have to choose sides. All right, now, the good news is this can be kind of fun. I always have fun taking evil and their minions and seeing to it that they've got steam coming out their ears and their faces get all red with frustration. They don't know what to do with us. Because when we stand on the side of truth, there's nothing they can do if you're strong in the spirit. So I find that fascinating. So there's actually two ways to discharge your bank loans. So let's get right to the point. How do we discharge the bank loans? First of all, on this subject matter, if you're not already aware, I wrote a book called One Free Man's War and the Second American Revolution. You'll see various references to it throughout the website. I've devoted one full chapter to this issue alone on the bank loan, the bank fraud, so I get into much more specifics than I am here right now. I want to get concepts across to you here as we talk now. So that's available to you if you want to pursue that. Now, we do have in our business premium membership level, we have, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a top secret banker's manual. And this was obtained by my CPA friend. Someone went to great lengths to acquire this. He spent thousands of dollars to get it. This manual was only, this came from a bank. It was only to be released upon or shared upon the written permission of the president of the bank. And in this manual, it talks about how the bankers make huge profits, just huge, huge profits on manipulating the system One way is what I've just discussed with you. My CPA friend, Tom, realizes exactly the power that he has. He doesn't take this lightly at all. He's taken this information, he's digested it, and created a very simple, easy-to-follow system to bring this banker, or at least threaten to bring the banker into court and expose his whole house of cards. And typically how this works is that once you do that with your bankers, their knees will tremble and their hands will shake as they sweat. Typically what happens is that when presented or confronted with this information, they will volunteer to settle with you. They'll start off, say, well, we'll write down your loan for 50%. You say, hell no. You want nothing short of 100%, and they'll do it. You don't see much talk about this in terms of, you know, victory dances, simply because the whole purpose of the bankers is to keep this from getting into public record. And so they'll have you commit to silence on the subject. So you got to keep your mouth shut. But with this in mind, Tom has taken extraordinary measures to make sure that nothing happens to him, understanding the gravity of what we're dealing with here. This information obviously can take down the entire banking system and send a lot of people to jail, or possibly worse, if it were widely known. So, you know, people have died for much less than this, much less. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what happens is you present, there's a series of notices, notice of fraud, sample filings with the court that you threaten to file. And you follow this process that Tom has put forward. He's even broken down specific questioning. If you ever get to court, how to question the banker on the stand so that there's just no way he can win. If he answers a question one way in the beginning, he's got to lie later on. And once he realizes that, he'll just melt like a puddle and try to find a crack in the floor to get into. There's nowhere for him to go. It's pure fraud. So, and he does that with modern accounting principles, okay? So the bankers just don't have answers for the questions that have been laid out. And so in this banker's manual, let me just take a look. This, again, this is in the premium membership. There's 17 different chapters and an appendix with sample documents. Outlining the strategy for the notices that you'll send out, affidavits, notice and demand, notice of alleged loan dispute, notice of a holder in due course status, you know, so notice for request of confirmation of an actual debt that's due, which they don't have, notice of breach of agreement. So there's a whole list of documents and notices. Most of these are notices. And once you put enough pressure on your banker, lender, they'll start to get the idea and say, hey, you know, we need to maybe do something with this guy and shut him up and get him out of our hair. So he has had numerous successes, but they're very private, very quiet, and you can understand why. So that's fascinating. And I'll again, remind you, if you want to get into some more details on this, there's two ways to do it. I've devoted an entire chapter in One Free Man's War and the Second American Revolution, and there's a lot more information than this there. I wrote that book to educate people. It's just got a ton of information in there on many different subjects, and obviously, you know, being the author, yeah, I want to sell books, I want to self-promote, but, it was a 20-year project. Took me 20 years from beginning to end to put this book together. It's 384 pages. And obviously, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. I wrote this to educate people, to share what I've learned over the years. And, you know, I don't know near as much as some people do in many subjects, or most subjects, but I know a little bit about a lot of subjects. And I wanted to share that with the world as best I could. So that was the motive of the book, and I hope you can benefit from it. The to get down to the brass tacks and the how-to stuff, this banker's manual is in the Daddy Warbucks package on the premium membership. So with that, I'm going to terminate my formal presentation here. If you're running short on time, make a note of the time marker. And in fact, what I was going to do is get into a couple of my personal stories and experiences in dealing on the money issue. But due to the length already, I think I'll just terminate this here, and I'll do another presentation on my own personal stories in a separate presentation, and we'll divide it up that way. So if you're interested to hear about what I've done with the bank and money issue, I've had some fun with it for sure. And you can read about that in the book I mentioned as well, One Free Man's War. So I'll do that in another presentation. I hope you learned something here. And these are the basic issues that you need to understand. With that, you can study it further with other resources that are available. And so go get those bank loans discharged. And for all of us, Godspeed and God bless.